Please bow with me as we begin this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness to us. Lord, we ask that you would help us to focus upon you and that you would be glorified in this morning as we talk about a subject that is relevant to every single person. Pray, Lord, that your name would be made great and that we would trust evermore in you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, I do not have an outline for us this morning, but I wanted to talk this morning about being comforted in the Word, because of the Word, in Christ, in life, but in dealing with death and dying and tragedy. This week I had the opportunity to minister to a family at a funeral, and so a lot of my time this week was spent thinking about and contemplating, particularly finding comfort in Christ for believers. And I wanted to begin this morning with a question. Do you have any particular Bible verses? And if you can't remember a particular Bible verse, because I'm kind of catching you off guard, maybe a theme or that you can remember the snippet from the Bible verse that you kind of run to and cling to when you are in the midst of hardship, sorrow, when you need to cling to God's comfort and need the Spirit to be present in comforting you in your daily life. Is there a Bible verse that you go to as your go-to place to start? Anyone have any of those? And if so, what is that, if you'd be willing to share?
It's Proverbs 3:5-6. A lot of people know that one.
Okay, Proverbs 3. Yeah. Yeah, and that's ultimately encouraging, because the second part of the first verse is, do not lean on your own understanding. So often our perspective is skewed because all we know is what we know, and we need to be able to remember to step back and say, the Lord knows far better, far more perfectly all that's going on, and I can trust in Him. Okay, good. Thank you, Lori. Yeah, Stephanie. Give heed to my prayer, for you have been a refuge for me, a tower of strength against the enemy. Yeah, a confidence in, well, as the, at least the summary or the title is in my in the New American, the confidence in God's protection. We can trust in Him for our refuge. The Lord is my refuge and the Lord is my strength, a very present help in trouble. Or every word of God is true. He's a shield to those who take refuge in Him. We can find our source of protection and safety in God. Yeah, thank you, Stephanie. That's a great one. Anyone else have any particular verse? I have the privilege of, if you have another moment to think as I read this one, but I have the privilege of visiting one of our church people regularly, where he's at, and because Lee is unable to join us because of his health. And I've asked him several occasions, and he's always given me the same Bible verse that's his go-to verse. He remembers Psalm 27, particularly verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? You know, so often, whether if it's anxiety or if it's just any other thing that we deal with, That is the anchor of hope that he can grab onto, or he wants to lunge toward when he is in distress and life is hard and life is... he needs the comfort of the Word in God. Any other verses that you cling to or that you run to or that come to mind as you, again, look for comfort in Christ through His Word? Anyone else? I was rereading the Gospel of John this weekend, and I was caught by several of the I am statements and how they can be comforting to the believer. And just the ways in which Jesus describes himself to those around him. And I wanted to look for just a few moments this morning, just kind of a meditation on sorrow and comfort and mourning and grief, and I wanted to talk about those things this morning. In John chapter 6, this is following the feeding of the 5,000, and Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples and with the Jews, in which he talks about that he is the actual bread of life, that the people wanted to have the bread fill their bellies, that's all they wanted, but he is the true bread of life. He says in John chapter 2 that he is the living water, that he is these kinds of things that he is the fulfillment of those hopes. Let me just read some verses here. I don't want to ask the question. I'm going to ask this question probably regularly here, but the question is going to be, how are these verses comforting to the believer? Okay, how can these verses be comforting to you regardless of what's going on around you? So I'm going to read verses 35 to 40 in John chapter 6. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. But I said to you that you've seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day." Here's my question. How is this verse comforting? Or how ought this verse be comforting to you as a believer? What are we told here?
Our power and our strength is in God Almighty, not in ourselves.
Okay. We trust in the strength of the Lord. Okay. Joan, did you say something? You won't be turned away. Not only not turned away, but he says, "I will not lose anything." I mean, just that alone. This is the will of him who sent me, that all that he's given me, I will lose nothing but raise it up on the last day. So often our life is marked by difficulty sorrows and in any manner of form of things that we lose and cannot hold on to, jobs, dreams, whatever it might be, loved ones, health, anything. Our life increasingly seems to be marked by those things that are gone and never will come back. But Jesus says that this is the will of him who sent me. This is the will of God the Father. That all that he's given me, I lose nothing but raise it up on the last day. And that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. That is ultimately comforting. As we think about all those things that are uncertain, everything else, not everything else. It's hard to think of things in this life that are not certain. That are certain, they're all uncertain. The idea is we have certainty in Christ. Amen. And in the hope of resurrection, the hope of eternal life. And hope, not in the, boy, I hope that I'm going to have something, you know, my car will start. That's not that kind of a hope. Because of my car, you never know. But that I have hope. I have confident assurance of things that I have not seen, that Christ will raise me up on the last day. That should be comforting. No matter what Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday brings. Before we move on to the next verse, set of verses I wanted to look at this morning, anyone else have any ones that came to mind that oh yes, I come to this verse always comes up when I think about, yeah, Stephanie. And the next verse is, he will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Yeah, that's my help comes from the Lord. It is good to be able to look to true things that God has said about himself in his word that we can cling to. Because everything else is slippery. Everything else is not sure. What was the quote I had last week from Warren Wiersbe? Faith that is not based upon the Word of God is presumption. If our faith is not built upon what God's Word says, it's presumption or superstition. And our faith is not presumption or superstition. We trust in what God has said. He is a God who keeps his word. Thank you, Stephanie. That was another great verse. In John chapter 10, you can turn there.
Pastor?
Yeah.
When I first became a Christian, the first book in the Bible that I read was Revelation.
Okay.
Because I'm one of these people that wants to know how the story ends.
Right. Do you read mystery novels that way too? Probably? No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead, Gary.
And find the last part where it says, do not add to or take from this, because the book is trustworthy.
Yeah. Right. The Bible, yeah, and that's why, you know, I didn't read Revelation when I first became a Christian. That's why someone asks me my favorite Bible verse, which is always just a horrible question to ask, I'll default running to Proverbs 30. Every word of God is true. He's a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and prove you a liar, which is exactly what that says. Don't add to his words. You can trust what he said. Don't add or take away from. John chapter 10. This is Jesus, and he's going to speak about the... Well, talking about being the good shepherd, he is a shepherd. He's already talked about that in previous sections. He says this, in starting verse 25. I told you, you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them up out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Now consequently, verse 31 says the Jews wanted to stone him because, again, he was making claim to deity. Whereas in John chapter 6, it was the purpose and the assurance of Christ through the Father's will that he would raise anyone up who came to him. Again, in this we have an explicit statement, no one can snatch you out of my hand. we have, as believers, no fear of anything that can separate us from the love of Christ. What's Paul say in Romans chapter 8? In Romans chapter 8, he gives a list of these things. He says, who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus, he who died, is rather who was raised and is the right hand of God, who intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation? Distressed? And the answer to all these questions is no. Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Peril? Sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is comforting. To know that those who have been born again, you can't slip and fall out of God's hand. You can't be snatched out of God's hand. That is comforting. And I need that reminder when I'm having a pretty bummer of a day. But I also need that reminder on my best day that it's not me that keeps me in there. It's Christ who holds on to me. I have of late, maybe in a few years when thinking and praying to the Lord and talking about our trust in him, I have begun of late to, the preamble of my statements is this: we believe in a God who raises the dead. Therefore, my trusting in him for anything else is of no difficulty for him. Jesus, in another one of his I am statements, in chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And Martha says, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. This is one of the important aspects to point out. See, reading Jesus being the good shepherd, reading Jesus holding and raising up to eternal life, if we don't remember that it is those who believe in Christ, if we forget that part, we're missing an important, necessary component. But Jesus didn't just say these things. He followed the statement up by raising Lazarus from the dead. We can trust in God to do what he said because he's always done what he said. When I need to cling to the comfort of the Lord, I will go to the Sermon on the Mount or to Matthew chapter 10 where Jesus says this: do not be worried about your life as to what you eat or what you will drink, nor your body as to what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor do they reap, or gather into barns, that your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon, in all his glory, clothed himself like one of these. But God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace. Will he not much more clothe you, you little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I go to these verses. So often my worries and my concerns and my cares are bound up in the things that ought to concern me in life. Clothing, food, that's a responsibility that I have. But so often those things turn into anxieties. Turn into those things where I begin to lose sight of my trust in the Lord. I need to sit back and remember that God cares for the birds. He feeds them. He clothes the lilies of the field, and he'll clothe me. We are much more valuable than sparrows, than these flowers that are alive today and thrown into the fire tomorrow. This is one of the places where I go to. Because not only does it give me this reasoned understanding for trusting in him, he also says, do not be anxious then. Because how can you, by worrying, add one more day to your life? Can you actually accomplish anything by your worry? So it's a comfort and a chastisement to me. As Paul says in Philippians, be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and thanksgiving, make your supplications known to the Lord. And the peace that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. These are blessings that the children of God have access to. And we are so blessed. I often think that the Lord could have told us, given us information about salvation. He didn't have to give us information about being comforted here and now. He didn't have to do all those things, but he is kind. And that shows just the compassion of our Lord. Anyone else have any verses that come to mind? Ben.
Further on in Matthew, where Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I overcome you in the meantime, gentle, humble, and heart, and give my rest for your souls, and I will give you my burden as well.
You know, that is a great comfort. Along with salvation, Christ he bears the burdens that we have. What a wonderful picture. And again, Jesus is speaking to people who were heavy laden with religious obligations that they couldn't do. Either the only two options you really had if you followed the Pharisaic mindset or the wrong perspective of the Old Testament which was legalism, was either I am crushed under the weight of all these things that I can't do, and I'm completely, I can't do anything. Or you become proud and somehow convince yourself that you're good enough to take care of it. For the one who feels crushed by the weight of the law, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, What a comforting statement. And then Jesus is contrasting himself to the Pharisees. I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. There's no strife like close strife. In other words, family, work, those kinds of spheres that you can't get away from. How often when you're going through those times of difficulty, do you just want some rest for your soul? Rest, because strife is and hardship is just is overwhelming in Christ. We can find rest. Matter of fact, Hebrews speaks that Jesus is our Sabbath rest. I mean, think about that. There was a day set apart for rest from physical labor, but Jesus is the fulfillment of our Sabbath rest. We find rest in Him. Oh, how good our God is. As we think about life, you know, we think about life, and then we think about the end of life, and we think of death, and if nothing else, the Bible gives, I think, really the only comforting perspective when it comes to death. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as the rest who have no hope. But if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet him in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." When a believer... believer dies, we mourn, but we mourn as those who have hope. Why? Because we believe that Christ raises the dead and resurrection will occur. We can find hope in that. What happens if someone, you're not sure, or you, whether it was later in life and you were able to share the gospel or witness to them, but their mind or was waning and you weren't sure if they received it, or you don't know. You just don't know. Because our souls, our persons are not made up in the mind. If you read Scripture and you share the gospel, whether it's at the end of life or through life, and then someone has a troubled testimony, ultimately when they're dead, you do not know, you're not for sure, you don't have the confidence that you want to have, that you'd love to have, be able to say with Paul in 1 Thessalonians that we'll see them again in the air. My encouragement to you is to not to second guess, not to kick yourself, not to beat yourself up for what the words you didn't say, could have said, didn't do, but to be hopefully optimistic. If you don't know, be hopefully optimistic. Because we know that at the end, there is no changing. We can trust in the Lord and hope for the best. What are those in your life who are resolutely unbelievers? There are several people in my life close to me who are blessings to me in many ways, but are not believers. Some have passed, some are still with me. How do we handle that then? I run to the statement of Moses, of Abraham, in Genesis chapter 18, where he's pleading with God to, as far as bargaining with God about whether or not to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and he ends up saying, "Far be it from you, shall not the judge of all the earth do justly?" Ultimately, we have to sit back and rely upon God and trust in the Lord that he will do justly. And that we can then rest. My hope this morning is to encourage and embolden and strengthen our hope, our confidence in Christ Jesus here and now and in the future. That is my hope. And that confidence that we have is based upon the character and nature and trustworthy statements of God Himself. The gospel is good news. The gospel is good news in all of life. In the gospel, God offers forgiveness of sin, canceling of my debt, granting of righteousness, that I will be in the presence of God like Jesus. An amazing thing to think about. And this is a blessing, as Jesus says, for those who believe in Him. For those who have heard His voice and follow Him. For those who, in a spiritual way, are like Lazarus and have been born again, have been raised from dead. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. And so when we trust in Christ, the Spirit of God brings us to life. Which is why Jesus can say, "He who believes in me will never die." The gospel is simple. The gospel is so rich and full that even as we come back to contemplating just some of the basic things that Jesus has told us, the Bible says about the benefits and the blessings that come with salvation, it is a comfort for 30, 40, 50 years of life and more. So several weeks ago, we looked in Luke chapter 13 at the teaching there in our service, and that was the section where the tower fell on some people and Pilate had killed a bunch of people, and they asked Jesus for his reaction. It says, "Now on the same occasion, there was some present who reported to him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with the sacrifices." In other words, Pilate had sent a goon squad to kill a bunch of Galileans as they were offering sacrifices. Pretty grisly and bold and disturbing act. Jesus' response to them is always telling. "Do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this fate? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will likewise perish. Or do you suppose that these 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits Then all the men who live in Jerusalem would tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Jesus calls us to not ignore those things around us, but not to miss the reminder of our own terminal, that we have a termination point in this life. And to not miss that. But to think specifically about what is of ultimate importance, that we might repent and not likewise perish. The Bible is relevant and comforting in all of life. And while we don't have all the answers to all the questions, and we can't know things for certain in the way that God knows and shares them with us, we can rest with confidence, with assurance, with hope, that believing what he has said, we will be kept securely, safely, raised up on the last day, not because I'm awesome, not because of anything that I have done, but because of who Christ is. The entrance into all the blessings of God first comes at the door of seeing your own the sinful rebellion against God and agreeing with him that that does incur deserve the judgment greater than the Galileans or the men of Jerusalem. That we deserve the condemnation of God. And through that door of repentant faith, then, we are given life, hope, and assurance. And that is the blessing of the Christian life. That we trust in a Savior who's to save us. We trust in him to keep us. And we live so as to honor and serve him, knowing that it is his works that keep us, not mine. Having the verses, having a place to go to for comfort is important. I hope that some of the verses we mentioned today, if you didn't have one, you could run to, mark in your Bibles. If you forgot what someone said, go up and ask him later. What was that verse you said again? Let me write that down. Cling to the Word of God. Cling to and the promises of God. And we have hope because we believe in God who keeps his Word, who has raised the dead, who will raise us to life in the future. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the blessings that you give to us. Lord, your forgiveness of our sins alone is an amazing blessing. Granting us the righteousness of Christ Jesus is an amazing blessing. Loving us when we did not love you is unfathomable. But that you give us hope and comfort as we walk through this life of faith is an amazing blessing. Lord, help us to trust in you and run to you. May our eyes be looking upon you. May we not lean on our own understanding. May we run to the rock that is higher than we are. May we trust in the God who is our refuge and our strength. May we not worry about tomorrow and rest confidently that of all those who believed in you, you will lose none but raise us up on the last day. We thank you for your goodness to us in Christ's name.